Yeah, we are holding on Pesach Vav Amud Aleph, about the middle of the narrow line, Blimey and Rene. Okay, we left off yesterday that how Sancheriv got thoroughly humiliated. He had his he had to grind those the pits over there, and then pits of dates, and then he ended up getting his hair cut off, and his beard and his beard burnt off. Yeah.
Now, do we are we advocating making fun of goyim when they're down on their luck?
I mean, your papa is bringing an expression, like it's just like the other expressions. I mean, it's what people say. But on the other hand, Rashi points out what it means is if you already you do one thing to him and he doesn't mind it, then go ahead. You can obviously have your fun with him. It's not saying to kick him while he's down, but if you see to begin with that you start doing something to him and he doesn't mind, then obviously, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you're lucky. We didn't start yet.
Hello.
Maybe you should have started because the door was locked.
No. I just came in 2 minutes ago, and it wasn't.
The door was locked.
I'm sorry about that. When I came in two minutes ago.
What code?
No,
that's not a point.
Okay. I don't know. I guess Yaakov locked it.
Until you told me, I never knew.
Okay.
I never told you the code.
Fine. Let's go on. We're holding.
Did you know that? You told me everything. What are you talking
about? Okay. We're holding on the middle of. We're holding about the middle of the narrow line from Pesach Vav Amud Aleph.
1 second.
All right.
Yeah.
You bringing out the cookie?
I'm coming up here.
Because we're not you.
Going on Pesach Vav Amud Aleph, about the middle of the narrow line, one begins Rene. We left off about what happened to Sancheiriv after his whole army was wiped out, the humiliation that he suffered with having his hair and his beard destroyed, etc. Now continuing the last part of the story. Also, Ashkach Dapa Matevusa de Noyach. Sancheiriv went and found a board from Noyach Teva.
Here it comes.
Omar, and he says, Heinrel, the court. Sancheiriv.
Sancheiriv.
Omar, he said, Heinrel, the court. No, he found it for Pashtus in Asher or Ararat or whatever, where the Teva landed. Omar, he says, Heinrel, the court, Rabba, that must be the great god, the Shezri of the Noyach Matefana, that saved Noyach from the flood. And the Maharal and some other Mephoshim point out, Sancheiriv felt a certain affinity. He thought he had a certain affinity with Noach. Like Noach saw his whole world destroyed and then rebuilt it. And Sancheiriv thought of that also. Like he's one of the lone survivors of a destroyed world.
When he saw that.
No, just well in general. Therefore, when he saw this board from Noach Seva, then therefore he had an affinity to it. Omar, so he says, he also ahu gavro maslach. If this person, meaning I, goes and can be successful in rebuilding my army and reconquering, etc. Makarav lahu latrein bnei kamach, I will offer my two children as a sacrifice before you. Shamu bnei v'kaplu. Sure enough, his children overheard that and killed him. Hayin v'chtiv. Thus the pasuk says, Vayuhu mishtachla beit nisroich elikav. He was bowing in the temple of Nisroich, his god. Nisroich is related to the word neser, a board. So he'd taken a board and made it, yeah. V'adramelech v'saret sabonu v'kor b'cheret v'goymer. And Adramelech and Saret, his son, struck him with a sword and killed him. Now, for the moment, we're off the topic of Sancheiriv. We're going to get back to, later on, the Gemara is going to get back to the sequel of the story that doesn't really directly involve Sancheiriv. It involves Chizkiyahu and another king of his time, Merodach Baladan, but we'll get back to that further down on the Yom. Right now, the Gemara is going to talk about, meanwhile, something involving Avraham.
Why
are we switching? Rashi says, because since we talked before about the Malachim who destroyed Sancheiriv's army, then now we're going to be talking about the Malachim who assisted Avraham.
Okay.
The Yad Ramah has a different answer, because before we mentioned that the same size army came with Sancheiriv, and the same size army came against Avraham.
Right.
Therefore, naturally, we now want to talk about Avraham's victory a little bit.
But there was 2 billion Malachim that came with Avraham.
Not 2 billion Malachim, that we said before, that there were 2.6 billion soldiers that came with Sancheiriv. The Gemara says the same thing. When the four kings, or whoever it was, came to attack Avraham, they came with the same size army. Again, doesn't necessarily mean that actual head count. Again, we said yesterday from Beni Hayyadah and from Maharal, not necessarily. But whatever it is, there's a certain significance to that number. Okay. So the Pasuk says in this coming week's parasha, Vayecholik Aleihem Laila, it says he divided against them in the night, Huva Avodah, he and his servants, Avraham, Vayakim, and he struck them and killed them. The point that the Gemara is bothered by is, first of all, why does it say Vayecholik Aleihem Laila, he divided on them night? First of all, if anything, it should say Balayla. And second of all, if anything, is Sayacholik Balaila Alehem or something. What's Sayacholik Alehem Laila? So it sounds like Laila is somebody involved in this. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, yes. Oisim Malach Shin is Damen Loy Lazra.
Laila Yacholik Alehem?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Vayecholik Alehem Laila. Oisei Malach Shin is Damen Loy Avram Laila Shmo. The Malach who came to assist Avraham was named Laila. So therefore, in other words, we understand the pasuk. Vayecholik Alehem Laila. Laila, the Malach, divided the night, came in the middle of the night to assist Avraham and his men. Shenema,
this is the war against the king.
This is the war against the king. Shenema, as a pasuk, and we know that there's a Malach called Laila. Shenema, as a pasuk.
There's a big connection. The Malach destroyed all this army.
That's what Rashi says. That's what I just said, yeah. Okay. Shenema v'ha Laila amahoda gover. As the pasuk says, the Laila that said a man has been conceived, this is the Eov talking, but the point is, the Gemara explains in Nida that the Malach who was in charge of pregnancy and birth is named, or not birth, birth is in the hands of the Eidishter himself, but the Malach who was in charge of conception is named Laila. So the Malach...
Strange word for someone who's in charge of life.
No, that one has nothing to do with the other. But the
wife is conceived at night.
Well, that's true. Babies are usually conceived at night. But actually, Marsha asked the question, what does one have to do with the other anyway? Why is the Malach in charge of conception, specifically the one to help Avraham? And he gives a very interesting answer. In this week's parasha we just had, we said that Nimrod was Gibber Tzayib Lipnei Hashem. Nimrod was a mighty hunter before Hashem. So Marsha has an interesting, a unique explanation of Lipnei Hashem. We know from that Gemara in Nida that when a baby is conceived, the Malach, this Malach, Laila, brings that fertilized ovum to the Eivishter, and the course of that person's life is determined. Everything except whether they're a Tzadik or a Rasha, because that's the Seir HaKavshit. So therefore, in other words, Lifnei Hashem, when the fertilized egg that eventually became Nimrod was brought before the Eivishter, it was determined that he's going to be Gibur Tzayid, and this was done, Lifnei Hashem, in the presence of Hashem. So therefore, it was a natural thing, therefore, that Nimrod is going to be a very powerful warrior. Against that, you have Avraham, who was born under the Malach. They're more controlled by their mazel than Jews are. Avraham was born under the mazel of Tzedek, which is a mazel of calmness and justice and whatever. So therefore, by Derech HaTeva, you wouldn't have had that Avraham was going to be Nimrod and his allied king. So you needed the Malach Laila to get involved over there to... Rabbi Yitzchak Nachma, she also even Ma'aseh Laila. Rabbi Yitzchak Nachma says that it means the Eidishter did for Avraham. He made the things that come out at night, means stars, came out and fought on his behalf. Shenema, just like we find by Barak and Devorah against Sisra, min shamayim nochamu, from the heavens they fought. Hakechavim min siloisam nochamu in Sisra, that the stars from their paths in the heavens fought with Sisra. So the same way over here, Avraham had those night stars helping him out in his battle.
That's in the Torah.
It's an Haftorah, Parshas Bishalach. Azyashir. So Rish Lakish says on this, you have an explanation from Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan's full name is Rabbi Yechanan Bar Napcha, about the Malach. You have Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, so the Napcha's explanation, the Napcha literally meaning the smith, is better than the explanation of Bar Napcha, of Rabbi Yechanan. That the stars fought on his behalf is
what
Napcha literally means a smith, a blacksmith.
So Bar Napcha
literally means the son of the blacksmith. So I mean, it's just a figure of speech. But the point is, Rabbi Yechanan is called Rabbi Yechanan Bar Napcha. That was his full name. Rabbi Yitzchak is called Napcha himself. So therefore, he's saying like the Napcha is better than the Bar Napcha. I prefer his explanation.
Okay.
The pasuk continues by Avraham Avinu by Yirdef Ad Don. It says he chased the four kings until dawn. Why only until dawn? Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Kibin Shabbos Tzadik Ad Don. When that Tzadik, Avraham Avinu, reached the city of Don in the north of Eretz Yisrael, well, at that time it wasn't called Don. Later on it was called, after Sheva Don conquered it, Toshash Koche, his strength weakened. Why? Rob Nebon of Shas didn't love it, Abedazor of Don, because he saw that his descendants are going to end up worshipping Abedazor there. Shenema, as the process of Yosem, as the Echab of Esel, as the Echab, nothing but Don. As we find by Yerovam's Egle Hazar, that one of them was placed in Don. So therefore, when he reached that place, his strength weakened and he wasn't able to go on pursuing. The Af Oitze Rosha, and as a matter of fact, also that Rosha, namely Nebuchadnezzar, when he came to conquer Eretz Yisrael and destroy the Beis Mikdash, Lundis Gaber, he didn't reach his full strength, Adji Yigil Adon, until he reached Don, for the same reason, because that Avodah Zarah was happening over there, or happened over there. Shenema, the apostle says, Midon Nishma Nachra Susav. From Don you hear the snorting of his horses, like only in Don that he reaches full strength. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to have
This is
Nebuchadnezzar that we're talking about. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to mention something, which is it's a little less clear what these next couple of lines have to do. It's a little less clear what these next couple of lines have to do with the Gemara that came before it. And in fact, you have many different explanations among the Rishonim and Achronim what the connection is. Well, let's first learn the lines, and then we'll talk about it. Is it connected with the previous part that we just said, or is it connected with the new topic that we're starting, which is now going to be connected with the next part? So, Amar Abzera. Even though we know that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira sent the following message from Nisivin. Nisivin is in the north of Iraq. That's where he was the Rav over there. He sends over there a message like this. Number one, he zaru b'zokin sheshochach tamudim matmas einzei. Be careful with the covered of an old Talmud Chacham who forgot his learning because of an oinus, because he became sick, for example. Rabbi Yosef is an example of that.
Yeah.
So even though he forgot his Torah, nevertheless, you still have to give him covered because it was an oinus. It wasn't a deliberate thing. It could happen. Let's say Rabbi Yosef became sick, for example, so he forgot his learning, and we find in many places in Shas where Abaya had to remind him of what he had previously taught.
Did he become sick before he became blind, or
I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing. I don't know. Anyway, that was statement number one, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira made. Statement number two, v'hizaru b'veridin k'Rabbi Yehuda. Number two, be careful with cutting the veridin, like Rabbi Yehuda says. The veridin are the veins in the neck. When you shecht an animal, typically, or a bird, typically you only cut through the two simanim, the windpipe and the esophagus. You don't necessarily cut through what?
Kana
and vesh, they're called in Hebrew, yes. You don't necessarily cut through the blood vessels in the neck. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Rabbi Yehuda says over there in Cholin, when it comes to birds, a lot of time when you shecht an animal, fine, you usually cut it up afterwards, so then the blood will drain out eventually. But when you shecht a bird, sometimes afterwards you cook it or roast it whole. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be careful to also puncture through the veridin, the blood vessels there in the neck, the veins. Otherwise, the blood will stay in there and it won't get properly kashered. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says be careful with that. Do that. Make sure to puncture them. And number three, he says, v'hizaru b'bnei amei ha'aretz. Be careful regarding the children of amei ha'aretz, shemehem teitzei Torah, because from them Torah comes out. If you have children of amei ha'aretz who became Talmid Chachamim, give them covered. From them Torah will come out to the Jewish people.
Everyone does.
Well, but primarily, as a matter of fact, the Gemara mentions in the Dorim, it's very often you find the Gemara mentions in the Dorim that the children of Talmid Chachamim themselves don't become Talmid Chachamim because they pride themselves on their ancestry, and therefore they don't apply themselves as much. As opposed to Bnei Amei Ha'aretz tend to be the ones who become the ones who bring Torah to the Jewish people. However, he continues, even though we statements of Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira, Ki Hom Milsam Medinim Lahu, we inform them the following. Namely, what are we going to inform them? Basically, we're going to go through the question, why Nebuchadnezzar deserved the reward that he got. How is it that he became a world emperor and had the ability to destroy the Beis Mikdash? Now, what does all that have to do with what we were saying before? So Rashi says two explanations. One is we are starting a new topic over here. Why did Nebuchadnezzar be zeichet for that covet? Because of a small mitzvah that he did, as we're going to say later on. So therefore, explanation number one of Rashi is we tell the Bnei Amei Ha'aretz, you know why you have that covet? It's not just because you yourselves learned Torah. It's because your ancestors had a little bit of schus, ephesus schus, and that helped you become Talmid Chachamim. They should be aware of that. They shouldn't look down, in other words, on their ancestors. Okay, we're the Talmid Chachamim. They're a bunch of Amei Ratzim. Who cares about them? Be aware, just like Nebuchadnezzar got a reward for his four psias, as we're going to say later, so also you got this reward for that. That's Rashi's first step.
The reward that they get?
The reward that they get is that they become Talmid Chachamim. That the Eibishter helps them to become Talmid Chacham. Then Rashi says the second explanation is that this is referring to the previous Gemara. We said that Bnei Sancheriv killed him. And the Gemara is going to say later on that descendants of the children of Sancheriv actually became Gerim. So Shmaiv Avtalion. So we inform the Amei Ha'aretz just the opposite. Don't think we're honoring you because of your fathers. You should know the only reason you're getting honor is because of your Torah. Like this, they may, in other words, the second explanation of Rashi is almost the opposite of the first one. They may mistakenly think, you know what, our fathers, Taka, must have been great guys that were have such cover. These Talmid Chachamim, the sons of the Amei Ha'aretz, make them aware that their ancestors were after all Amei Ha'aretz.
They
need to be reminded of it, maybe. Okay, I mean, there are other explanations as well. I mean, the Yad Rama doesn't like either of these answers, either of these explanations of Rashi. He says, that the Vorta, like I said, there's a few other explanations. I think it's the Yad Rama says that the Vorta is, we tell them that your bnei amei aretz. From you is gonna come out torah. So therefore, you need to apply yourselves. You need to don't be. I think he says something like don't be like the bnei tamar chachamim who don't apply themselves. Be aware. No, so actually, let me see. What it is he says it's referring to what we're going to say. It is, again, referring to what we're going to say later, that it has to do with Nebuchadnezzar's, it has to do with Nebuchadnezzar's reward, that be aware that four steps can get you very far, and that even a tiny schus can get you very far. Marashah talks about the idea that it means we tell the Amei Oret themselves. Usually we say you don't tell over Dibre Torah to an Amei Oret who's going to feel bad that he himself doesn't understand it. But this kind of thing explains to them that, yes, even a little schus can get you far. Let the Amei Oret realize that they'll actually try to get schus in themselves. Mm. Okay, so anyway, like I say, you have a bunch of different explanations how this comes in. Okay, what are we telling them? In Sefer Yirmiyahu, you have a thing where Yirmiyahu is complaining to the Eved. He says, he starts out by saying, Chavitat ata Hashem, I know Hashem that you are righteous, ki orive lecha, even when I argue with you, I know you're going to come out that you're right after all. Ach mishpotim adaber oisach, but I want to speak mishpotim, I want to get down to brass tacks with you, I want to understand. Madua derech reshoim salecha, why is the way of reshoim successful? The famous question throughout Jewish history. Sholu ko bol de boged, why are all the treacherous ones, the ones, the betrayers, why are they so at peace? Netatam gam sheroshu. Shalom means they're at peace. Watch them, shalom. Netatam gam sheroshu. You plant them and they're well-rooted. Yelchu gam osuperi. They go further and they produce fruits and descendants and whatever. So therefore, he's complaining. Why is that? Why is it Rosha like Nebuchadnezzar becoming so powerful in the world? Maya hadrele. What is the answer to Minashamayim? A couple of psukim later, he's told, "P.S. Raglayim Ratzo Vayaluch." Look at this, and you ran a race against the people on foot, and they tired you out. Ve'ech tetzachres asusim. How do you think you're going to compete with the horses? Or ve'eretz sholem atabeteach. You think you're confident that you're able to run in a peaceful land? Ve'ech tasa ve'goyin ayarden. How are you going to manage in the goyin ayarden swamps near the yarden where wild animals? Meaning, what kind of an answer? Marshal Adam Echad Sha'amah, it's like a marshal of a person who says, Yochal Ami Lorot, Dimo Parsois, Bifnei Asusim, Beit Bitzei Amayim. A person says, I'm able to run 3 parsa ahead of horses through swamps. Well, Nizdamin Leiragli Echad, he meets up with a foot runner, Ross the son of Gimel Milan Vayabasha. So he runs, the attacker gets ahead of him, but for three mil, not even 3 parsa, on dry land, vanilla, and he's tired out afterwards. It was a hard race. So they said to him, he's tired trying to beat a foot racer. How much more so you get tired trying to outrace horses? 3 mil was enough to tire you out. How much more so 3 pirates, which is 4 times as much? You got tired on dry land. Then how much more so you'll get tired in the swamps? So therefore, now the Eidishter says to Yirmiyah, you also, you're wondering why the Rishayim are so successful. Let me explain to you. Madach the schar of 4 steps that I paid back to that Rosha, Nebuchadnezzar, Shirot Acha Kvodi, who ran because of my covet, as we're going to say in a little bit, the Gemara is going to tell the story. After Temeya, and you're wondering how it is that he got so successful as a reward for just those 4 steps. So now when I pay back a reward to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, who ran before me like horses, how much more so the reward for them is going to be much greater. And the reward for them and in the swamp and all. So therefore, that's the point of the, you're wondering why Nebuchadnezzar is successful. Look at the little tiny mitzvah that he did and how much schar he's getting for that. Imagine how much schar is saved up for the Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. And thus we find that later on in Sefer Yirmiyah, he says, Lanavim, regarding the Nevi'im, Nishbar Libi Bikirbi, my heart is broken within me. Rochafu Kalat Moisei, all my bones are fluttering. Hayisi Ki Ish Shikar, I was like a drunk person, or Gever Avoda Yain, like a person who was passed over by wine, who was overcome by wine, Mipnei Hashem, Mipnei Divrei Kodesh, because of Hashem and because of his holy words. Meaning Rashi says, that he's saying, the Nevi'im, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I couldn't even begin to imagine the amount of schar they have. So like my bones are fluttering at thinking of it.
Hashem saying this?
This is Yirmiyah saying it. Yeah. Marashah says differently. In context, that pasuk, Nevi'im, is actually talking about the fourth Nevi'im. So he's saying, Marshall explains that, in context, it's talking about the Nevi'im, I'm brokenhearted, I'm all a flutter or whatever, how you talk about that they're going and saying false Nevuah. Meaning, as Marshall says, the point in our Gemara is, these guys are claiming Nebuchadnezzar is never going to be successful, he's going to go away, he's never going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. When I realize what the Ebershah told me, how much power he's getting just for the four steps that he took, then I'm brokenhearted and all a flutter and all, I can't believe they'd be saying such things. Okay. Hani Dalab Tzismahi, what's the story with these four steps that Nebuchadnezzar took? Dichtiv, so you have a pasuk, but Esahi, at that time, during the, so we have, okay.
But Avram, yeah, it's true, he was very successful, but Yaakov in his life was complaining.
We're not talking about the reward that was given to them in their lifetime. Shmi Hashem Lene died to Lahem, they wish to point out to Moshe. I never showed them the fulfillment of my promises, but the point is all the schar that saved up from them, for the Jewish people, imagine how much greater it is compared to the schar that Nebuchadnezzar got.
Every year we say in Davon Hashem Kippur, the reigning, that every morning, like Yechad Bar Melech, it's Chus of Yitzchak, that he was bounded and all that.
Yep.
Every day we use this as for Chmos the whole day.
Indeed. Yeah.
Every Jew gets that.
Good.
Indeed. Okay. So now you have a psukim described like this. During that period, when Sancheirah was threatening Yerushalayim, Chizkiyahu became very sick. The Ebishter sent Yeshayahu. Long story, to make a long story short, a mess happened, and he recovered, and in the course of that, Yeshaya gives Chizkiyahu a siman that he will fully recover. He set the clock back 10 hours. We learned before, actually the Gemara is going to talk about over here, that when Ochaz was buried, and Ochaz, Chizkiyahu's father, was in Russia, the Ebishter made the sun set 10 hours early, so they wouldn't have time to give him a hesped, because he needed the kapara being dragged around. So now the 10 hours were made up. So now the positive thing is, but Esahi at that time, Sholach Merodach Baladon ben Baladon Melech Bavel, Sforim Begomer, Merodach Baladon, the son of Baladon, the king of Bavel, sent letters and presents to Chizkiyahu. And then the positive continues, Vayishmak Yicholor Yichizkiyahu. You heard that Chizkiyahu had been sick. So what's the connection? Mishum Yicholor Yichizkiyahu Vayasek. Because you heard Chizkiyahu was sick and got better, Shodolay Sforim Mincha, he sent him letters and presents. So what? People get sick and recover all the time. So A. Yes, because, as the passage continues, he wanted to find out about the nest that happened in the land. What happened in the world? On the day that Ochaz had died, years earlier, that day was only 2 hours long, so they wouldn't have time to make him a proper funeral and hesped and all. Then when Chizkiyahu was sick and then recovered, the Ebishter returned back those 10 hours to him. So that day was 22 hours long, Rashi says, instead of the normal 12. You find in the pasuk that describes that Yeshaya says, Hinini Meshav Selah Malos, behold, I will move back the shadow of the steps. They had like a thing of steps right over there. Rashi describes it was sort of like a sundial, except instead of being made in the short form, a dial was made in the form of steps. So like each step, as the shadow hits it, you know what hour it is. Asher Yodah B'Malis Ochaz, that it went down on the steps of Ochaz, B'Shemesh, on the sun, Acheranis, it'll go backwards, Eser Malis, 10 degrees, or 10 hours. So in other words, the point is why we associate it with Ochaz, because those 10 hours were removed when Ochaz died. Now they're being given back. B'Tosh of Hashemesh Eser Malis, and sure enough, the sun returned back 10 steps, 10 hours, B'Malis, Asher Yodah, on the steps that it had gone down. So the sun actually went backwards, and therefore the shadow, like if you have, for example, the first hour of the day, let's say the bottom step is covered, the next hour, the second step, etc. So it went backwards, and now the 10 steps are back in the sunlight. Yeah. So now, of course, this became known through the whole world. Omalahu, so Merodach Baladon in faraway Bavel asks his servants, "My high, what happened over here?" And actually, the Medrash says an interesting. The Medrash adds interesting details. This Merodach Baladon used to sleep in every day until he used to eat his lunch, and then he'd go for a nap for 3 hours until the ninth hour of the day, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden, this morning, he wakes up from his nap and he sees the sun is in the east, like it's morning again. So he was ready to kill his servants. What is this? After you let me nap for so long, it's the morning again. And they told him that no, it's the sun was moved back. Really, how did that happen? Chizkiyahu's God made it happen. Oh well, in that day, yeah. All right.
Believe them.
So they told him.
He looked on his calendar, and it's still the same day.
Chizkiyahu was sick and then became better. Omar, so Meredith Baladon is very impressed. Ika Gavraki, hi. There's a person like that in the world. Who has such a powerful God. Shouldn't I send him a greeting of peace? So they wrote out a letter as follows. Shalom l'malka Chizkiah, peace to King Chizkiah, shalom l'kauta to Yerushalem, peace to the city of Yerushalayim, shalom l'elekar Rabba, and peace to the great God. Well, Nebuchadnezzar sacred to Baladon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the scribe, the secretary of this Baladon, of the king. When this was going on, he wasn't there. He also, when he came back and they told him what happened, Omalahui, Nebuchadnezzar says to the other scribes, so how'd you write the letter? And Omalahui, they told him, this is what we hear. Omalahui says, what do you say? Karaba, what is this? You're calling him the great God, and you're putting him at the end after Chizkiyahu and after Yerushalayim. Especially the vote is, Marashah talks about the idea, if you hold, you're going to say, fine, we goyim believe elakod elakaya, that Hashem is just the God of gods, and that the inferior gods run the world or whatever, chas v'shalom, then fine, okay, I can understand you put him last. But you're calling him the great God, implying like he directly is involved with nature, well then why are you putting him last? So this is how you should write it instead. Shlom l'alakarabba, peace to the great God. Shlom l'kauta to Yerushalayim, peace to the city of Yerushalayim. Shlom l'malka Chizkiyah, and peace to King Chizkiyah. Exactly the other way around.
Why Yerushalayim before the king before
Chizkiyah? Perhaps just because Yerushalayim is the place where Hashem's Shechina rests, Chizkiyah is the king. The other scribes told him, fine, kraina diga to iulevi pravanka. Fine, as the expression goes, the one who reads the letter should be the messenger. You yourself say it should be written differently. Fine, no, go. You go and grab a hold of the messenger before they ride off, and then stop them so you can rewrite it. Rohat Basri, so Nebuchadnezzar started running after the messenger. Kidirohit Arba Psius, after he had run, by the way, Gilead Hashas brings from Medrash Tanchuma that actually it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar who ran, it was Meredith Baladon who ran, the king himself. And therefore, the Medrash goes on to say his reward was that he had three of his descendants be kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meredith, and Belshazzar. Okay. Anyway, so he ran.
So Baladon is then the father of Nebuchadnezzar?
Apparently, according to that, yeah.
And king.
And you have, by the way, the Medrash and various other places, you have the Girsa, not four steps, like we say in our Gemara over here, but rather three steps. So three steps, so therefore three kings. Once he had run four steps, or according to the Midrashim, three steps, also Gavriel va'okme. Gavriel came and stopped him, that he shouldn't run any further. Or some of the Mephoshim say it means that he brought the Shliach back to him, so he doesn't have to run any further.
Right.
And the Amr of Yechanan, Gavriel va'amidi, if Gavriel had not come and stopped him, the enemies of the Jewish people, meaning as usual the euphemism, the Jewish people themselves, would have had no takana. In other words, like this, he would have had an even greater fire, and he would have been able to do even worse. This set it says, by the way, that he ran three, wow. According to the Girsa, that he ran three steps. Marsha says, and the Magen Avraham brings it on Shulchan Aruch, this is one of the reasons why we take three steps back at the end of Shemoneh Esrei.
Oh my God.
The Nebuchadnezzar was a reward for these three steps, was able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. We take three steps back, counteract his three steps, and then we say, Shivana Beis Hamikdash, Meher of Yemenu. We want the exact opposite of what he accomplished with his three steps.
But if you could, it's funny to think the whole concept. But
we've
got Nebuchadnezzar called him Hashem and all that, how he had equipped the God.
Unfortunately, you have, we'll get to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, by the way, that mentions such a thing based on Sukkim from Yeshaya, that sometimes you have a Goy is upset with his God, he finally starts realizing maybe there's an Edishtaf in Bel, but then Bel Edith Yavik, he looks right back down to the ground and continues worshipping his Avodah Zarah.
He comes later on, he was told not to have a war with Yehud, and he does come.
There's
more when he's attacking the Shalayim.
You really
have to encourage him to do it.
All right, let's go on. My Baladon ben Baladon. What kind of a name is that? Meredith Baladon ben Baladon. He has the same name as his father.
What are the first steps for in Shemana Esrei?
That's because you're...
Beginning.
That's the beginning is because you're standing in front of a king, so you take steps backward out of respect.
So we take steps... when we start the Shemana Esrei, we take three steps backward.
Right.
And then we take three steps forward.
Right.
Now, this is just because we're doing the Shemoneh Esrei.
Right. So at the end, why afterwards we say Shivana Beis Hamikdash? There's a lot of reasons also. In the Beis Yosef on Aruch Chaim and brings a half dozen other reasons why we take three steps back at the end. Because we're departing from the king, and because the three steps represent the three levels of cloud by Har Sinai, and because they represent the three parts of the Beis Hamikdash, the three Azores, whatever, there's a bunch of different reasons.
Yeah. You part back, you're supposed to be to the left first, because you're doing that.
Because you're standing in front of the king, yeah.
So
you bow to his right.
You go with your left first.
Well, that also, right. You bow to your left first, so you bow to the right of the Shekhinah that's standing in front of you. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so why is he called Baladon ben Baladon? Amri. Amri, so they say like this. Baladon Malkahava. Baladon was originally the king of Babel. The Ishtine Ape, but his face got changed. It got deformed. The Havitki de Kalba. It became like the face of a dog. And by the way, the Zohar actually talks about the idea that the word Baladon in some other language or whatever actually means dog. And the Zohar associates it with some powerful clipper or whatever.
They brought this up after 9/11, that Zohar. You didn't see that? Everyone was sharing.
Oh, because Bin Laden, Baladon.
Okay.
Good. I don't
remember.
Okay. Powerful. Yeah. Yosef Brei Amachus. So his son took over as king. The nobles didn't want a guy with the face of a dog to be king anymore. But he still respected his father. He had a ksiv, so when he would write letters, have a ksiv, Shmei or Shmei Davur, Baladon Malchus. So he would write his own name and his father's name. Like he took his father's name and attached it to his own name to show, I'm not embarrassed to be called his son. Thus the pasuk says, "Ben yichabed of the eved adayna." Thus the pasuk says, "A son honors his father, a slave honors his master." And in other words, we find here is an example in history of a son who really has true kibud av for his father. Ben yichabed of hadamor the eved adayna. Where do we find an eved who has total bittul to his master? You have a pasuk of achodesh hachamishi ba'asa lachodesh in the fifth month, which is Av, on the 10th of the month. The 10th of Av, Hishnas Chayatre Shonam Melach Machanet Melach Babel, which is the 19th year of Machanet Melach Babel, Bon Vazaradan Rab Tabachim, Vazaradan, the chief executioner, came, Omad Bethne Melach Babel Yerushalayim. He stood in front of Melach Babel in Yerushalayim, which makes it sound like the Machanet was present over there. By Yisrof Esbet Hashem Esbet Melach, he burnt down the house of Hashem, the Mishmash, and the palace, and the king's palace. So the question, the 10th of Av, by the way, is because the Gemara tells us in Tainus, they started the fire on the 9th of Av in the evening, and it burned throughout the rest of the 10th. Yeah.
The
second Mishmash was the same way, but yeah. So the question is, Risolik Nebuchadnezzar to Yerushalayim, did Nebuchadnezzar himself ever come to Yerushalayim, and that there was a rabbi standing in front of him? The Pasuk describes that after they captured Zidkiyahu, they brought him up to the king of Babel in Rivla, which is on the Omer of Abahuzu on Tuchia. This is Antioch. This is Antioch, which is well outside of Israel, so nowhere near Yerushalayim. So Nebuchadnezzar wasn't in Yerushalayim. So what does it mean? Rav Chista Rav Yitzchak Bavardimi. They argue what does this mean? Chad Omer. One says Dmus Diyochna Hoysachakukale Amerkato. One says that Nebuchadnezzar had an image of Nebuchadnezzar engraved on his chariot. So therefore, he had a bittul just in front of that picture as if he's standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar. V'chadama, the other one says he didn't even need a picture. Eime Yisera ha'yitzalim menu. He had such derech eretz for him. He had such fear for him. V'doyma k'misha oimun l'fanam. That it seemed to him as if he's standing before him. This is, by the way, a source. You know, people often ask why we have so many pictures of the Rebbe in our houses. Based on this, you see that it helps you develop that bittul. But you see, according to the second answer, you shouldn't even need that. You can be on an even higher level where you don't need the picture.
I thought this would be Abraham, but unfortunately not.
Okay, so now we're going to get into most of the rest of this Almud. Now is going to tell some stories about the Churban. This is one of the Gemaras that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av for the same reason as the one on Hani Zaket. It's less well known because it's a shorter piece. But yeah, okay. Amar Rav. Toin tlasmeya kud nice and narga de parazola de shalat de parazola. 300 mule loads worth of axes, of iron axes that are able to cut other iron.
Kud nice
means mules. So 300 mules worth, 300 mule load of narga de parazola, narga of axes, de parazola de shalat de parazola, of iron that's able to cut other iron. Shadrach, Nebuchadnezzar, the Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar sent along with Nebuchadnezzar to use it to conquer, to break through the gates of Yerushalayim and conquer it. Kulu blatinu chadasha de Yerushalayim. And all of them were swallowed up, meaning were destroyed on one gate of Yerushalayim. It tries with one axe and it breaks. Another one, it breaks, etc. Shenema, the pasuk says, pituchei ha-yachad, the gates of it together. B'chashel v'cheilapris yahaloimun, they're hammering at it, they're banging on it with kashel and cheilapris, which are different kinds of tools. And it's all breaking. They're not getting through. Bori lemeder. So Nebuchadnezzar wanted to give up and go home. Omar, he says, Mr. Pina, do I love to be kissed? No, I'm afraid. I'm afraid, like you said before, I'm afraid they might, their malachim might do to me the same as they did to Sancheirim. Yeah, because he was one of the survivors. We said before, yeah. Nofka Kola, a voice came out, a basko came out, and it said, Shaver bar Shaver, Jumper, the son of the Jumper. There was a rabbin, shaver. There was a rabbin, jump. In other words, you jumped before with Sancheirev, Rashi says, and now jump again. It's time. The Motazimna, the time has come, the Mikdash Acharev, that the Beis Mikdash is going to be destroyed, the Heichel Mikli, and the Heichel is going to be burnt. So don't give up. You're still, yeah.
You're doing the right thing, basically.
Basically. Poshle Chadnav, he had one of his axes, one of these axes left. Osya Machia Bekupa, he came and banged on the gate with the kupa of it. Rashi says the kupa means the blunt end of it. Like this is the, no, so Rashi says, like this, you have an axe usually has a blunt end and a sharp end. So like this, all this time with the other axes, he was trying to use the sharp end, and each one was breaking. Now he uses the blunt end, the iftach, and it opened up. The Yad Ramah says that actually kupa can even mean the wooden handle. He didn't even use the metal. He didn't even use the metal blade. He just used the wood, and a nest happened and opened. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, in that same Kapitol and Tehillim, Yivoda Kamevi Lamaila, let it be known to you, the Eibishter, and let it be considered as if he did it right in front of your Kisei HaKavod, as if he had the chutzpah to attack your Kisei HaKavod, Bisvach Eitz Kadumais, with the thicket, the forest of the wood of axes, meaning in other words, remember Eibishter, the chutzpah that he had to go and conquer Yerushalayim like them. The Vasco was saying, but nevertheless, he should have realized that after all, okay, you know, the Eibishter wants, doesn't mean that I have to do it. Doesn't mean that I have to do it.
No?
And somebody else could have done it. Yeah, like I've got a second korban. That Miran Kaser asks a kid for a pasuk, and the kid tells him a pasuk that the Eivishter was going to have his vengeance on Edom through the Jewish people. And Miran Kaser all of a sudden realizes, okay, the Eivishter has his plans. He wants the Beis Mikdash to be destroyed, but then I'm going to be the fall guy. I don't want it. And he ran away and became a gift. So he could have done the same thing. But whatever, the point is that after all, you still want the Eivishter to remember the korban that the goyim had the chutzpah
to
do it.
Well, he also made tshuva.
Yeah, we're going to see later on, but that was a later thing. Have a cut over Ozol at the mouth of a Heichel. So the Mazarabim was going through Yerushalayim and killing along the way until he reached the Heichel. Adlik ben Nura, and
he was in Moab's shoulder.
Yeah, of course, it doesn't mean him himself. Yeah. Adlik ben Nura, he set the Beis Mikdash on fire. Gova Heichel. At that point, the Heichel lifted up, like it was about to go up to Shemayim to be spared from the fire. Dorkul ben
was
the Heichel of the Beis Mikdash.
Was it a wooden structure?
It had wood in it. I mean, it was made the outside of it was made out of stone, and the inside of it the walls were covered with wood, which was then plated with gold. Yeah, you had, there was wood in various places.
What could mean Hichmit? Who was the guy that put one panel of wood and then two panels of stone? Or
oh, that was Kurdish. Yeah. Okay. That was in the walls. Yeah. The Gemara explains that Shlomo Melchizedek Smith also had wood. The difference is it was recessed and it was covered with plaster and it was on the top now rather than the bottom, so it wouldn't get undermined. But whatever. Okay. Anyway. So he lifted Beis Mikdash on fire. Gava Heichel, the Heichel lifted up to go up to Shemayim. Dorku Bevin Shemaya, the Eivishter or the Malachim or whatever, stepped on it, Tabiachol, and then put it back down on the ground. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Gas Dorach Hashem Lufsulas Bas Yehuda. As the pasuk says, Hashem stepped on the virgin daughter of Yehuda like a wine press. So we see that there was a stepping over there. Like Tabiachol, the Beis Mikdash is forced back down to earth to show, and it was like this. It's part of the idea is that Nebuzaradan is being shown, don't think you did it on your own strength. You never could have accomplished it on your own if the Eibish attacker didn't want it to happen. In fact, though, Nebuzaradan is getting proud of what he did. Yes, he's getting proud. He accomplished this. Nofka Baskol of Omra, Baskol came out and said, Omra and says to him, you didn't do nothing. Amak Tila Katlas, a people that's already dead, that already had a Zera on them to be killed, are what you killed. Heichel Kalia Kalkolis, a Heichel that was already destined to be burnt, you burnt. Kimcha Tchina Tchina, so a flour that was already ground, is you ground. You didn't accomplish anything that wasn't already done.
You grind wheat, you don't grind flour.
You know, exactly. Shenema, and we find a Nevuah of Yeshaya about Bavel that expresses this idea. He's telling, in the simple terms, he's telling Bavel how you're eventually going to be destroyed and go into Golos as well. But he uses the expression, Tchire chayim v'tachni komach, take millstones and grind flour, gali samosech, uncover your braids by the sides of your head, chespi shovel, undo the braids themselves, Gali Shaykh, uncover your legs, Ivri Naharis, and cross the rivers, in other words, you're going into Golos. But the point is, in other words, that so Rashi explains that actually, so it's on the simple sense, it's said to Bavel. But the point is, Rashi says that actually this is the Eibush is telling to the Jewish people, you grind flour. In other words, you are already as if you're flour, and now you're going to still yet go into Golos. So that's not the point. That's the point. Chitim lenemar doesn't say grind flour elakema. It says grind. It doesn't say wheat. It says grind flour. In other words, the flour has already been ground, and now you, Nevuzaradan, don't think you've accomplished anything more than was already accomplished. Continues the Gemara with the story. This we have in Gittin as well. Chazed damages chayyeh davaka rosach. Then Nebuchadnezzar and Nevuzaradan, rather, when he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, he noticed the blood of Zechariah that was bubbling. This is Zechariah, the famous Nabi Zechariah. Not the Zechariah who was one of Tereyasa, by the way, the earlier Zechariah, who had been killed 250 years earlier when he was giving Musa, he was giving Nebuah to the Jewish people, do tshuva, or the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. So they killed him. And he saw this blood.
And it worked for 200 years.
So, yeah. So the blood was bubbling. Omru mai hai. So he asked, what's going on? What's this blood? Omru lai. Zechariah was killed by the Jewish people. They killed him in the Azara. This is the famous thing. In Yehorek b'mikdash Hashem koyin menavi, that the Baskel tells Yirmiyah, we find the line in Sefer Echa, in Megillas Echa, how could it be that a koyin and a navi, because Zechariah was both, is killed in the Beis Hamikdash. You're complaining about how what terrible things have happened to the Jewish people. Look what they did. There is, by the way, a famous story about there's about a dozen different versions of it along the lines of that later on somebody was Malamed Chus on the people who killed him, that he was predicting the Churban, and if he had kept the Nevuah to himself, it wouldn't necessarily have happened. We learned in the previous parak that when a Navi is told the Nevuah, he has to tell it, otherwise it's high mitzvah
yeah,
to the mind.
Yeah.
But there's a limit to Chus that's brought from different people that... One version of the story has it. The Alter says that there's different versions of the story floating around, that the vote is he could have chosen to suppress the Nevuah, not to tell it. Fine, but at least once the Nevuah is said, it's much more likely that it's going to come true. Okay, anyway.
And he wasn't protected for saying it.
Right. Okay. Omrulay,
he died anyway.
One thing is, because the Pasuk describes Vayamud Ma'ala'am, he stood above the people. The Medrash says, and I think Rashi brings it on the Pasuk over there, like he thought himself higher than everybody. I'm a Kohen, I'm a Navi, I'm the son-in-law of the king, etc. And therefore, like, yeah. Okay, anyway. Omrulay Ma'ai, and Nevuzaradan asked the people, what's going on? What's this blood bubbling over here? Omrulay, they said, Dam Zvachim, Udi Ishtapich, it's blood of Karbanis that's spilled. Omalahu, I see the NC. So he says, fine, I'll bring other animals and I'll try it out. Imidmu, Kasi, Imidmu, and see if they're similar. Kasi, so he shefted a bunch of animals. Velayidmu, and it didn't look anything similar. Animal blood looks different than human blood.
Kasi means shefted,
yeah. You find Kosa in a few places. The chat Kosa is Aramaic word for shefting. Yeah, there's a different gear, said Nasi, that he tried out. Okay, whatever. Omalahu, so he says to them, Galuli, you better tell me the truth. Not that I'm going to comb off your flesh with iron comb.
He was doing it anyhow. He was killing people anyhow.
Yeah, but okay, I don't know.
No, but he's going to torture them.
Yeah.
What? He said that too?
This is what's happening. By the way,
I guess when someone's getting
killed... So they told him the truth. Hi, Kohen and Navi, who did Inbilahuli Yisrael b'chobanu to Yerushalayim. This is a Kohen and a Navi who gave a Nevuah to the Jewish people that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, v'katluhu, and they killed him for it. Amalahu, and now his blood is bubbling ever since then. Amalahu, so the Rosaradan says, I'm not a fayasa. I'll calm him down. I'll avenge him. I see that Bonan Kotilove, he brought Chachamim and killed them over at Velenach, and the blood still didn't calm down. I see Daudiki de Beirav, he brought Cheder kids, Kotilove, Velenach. I see Pirchakoni, he brought young Koyanim, Kotilove, Velenach. Adi Kotilove, Tishin Val Baribo, until the point he had killed 940,000 people. Velenach, and it still hadn't calmed down. 40,000. Almost a million. 40,000, yeah, almost a million.
Same place.
Krav Legabe, so now.
On the
Nazar. Yeah. Krav Legabe,
so the blood just flowing.
I guess so. Krav Legabe, so now the Nevuzaradan comes close. Almost. Zachariah, Zachariah. Tovim Shebehani Badkib. I've already destroyed the best among them. Nichaloch Dech, the Lunal Hulu. Would you prefer that I destroy all of them? Miyad Noch, and then the blood calmed down.
Why didn't he say that before?
That's a good question. Hear her Truva B'dayte. At that point, Nevuzaradan started thinking thoughts of Truva. Omer, Mahem Shele Ibduel and Nefesh Achas Kach. Madach them, they only killed one person and they were punished so severely. Hahu Gavra, this person, meaning I, Mater Ele, what's going to be with me that I killed so many people? Orach, so he ran away. Shoda Protisil Abese. He sent a will home to dispose of his property. The Iskaya, and he became a guest.
They let him become a guest.
maybe they didn't know. He went to some place where they didn't know who he was. I don't know. And we learned earlier in the Masechta, by the way, that when a goy commits certain crimes that would make him chayav misa as a goy, and he becomes a ger, he might still be chayav misa. He may well still have been chayav misa, okay, but at least he dies as a yid. I don't know. Okay.
He might have got executed.
It's possible.
At least, you know, that doesn't be kapara.
Maybe
that's
maybe.
Now, did the king know what he did?
Apparently not.
That he just ran away.
That he just ran away. I don't know. Turn it up on him.
It's a war, you know. People get war.
This is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, the general. Yeah. Okay. Turn it up on him. We learn in a bright.
Is there any explanation, and it's a general question, why I think you said it before, why the Talmidei Chachamim go, you know, to be a kapara on the rest of the Jews?
One reason is because it should make everybody else feel bad that the Talmidei Chachamim are being punished because of us.
Why do they deserve it?
First of all, there is. Once the Malach HaMavet is out and about,
he does the Siddiqui first so they don't have to
see. So they don't have to see.
That's why Mitzrayim, Hashem says, warned it, take aside, because once the Malach HaMavet is gone, you'll kill the good and bad all the same.
Indeed.
Okay.
Turn it up on him. Naaman Ger Toshim. Naaman, the Arami general who had Saras and Elisha healed him. We learned about him earlier in the Masechta. He became a Ger Toshim. He didn't give up. He didn't become a Yid, but he gave up of a Dezara. And there was a Radan Ger Tzedek. On the other hand, there was a Radan became a Ger Tzedek. Other examples, Nebonov Shal Sisra Lom the Torah of Yerushalayim. Descendants of Sisra learnt and taught Torah in Yerushalayim. Rabbeinu Nissim, one of the early Rishonim, says that this is Shmaya and Atalia we're talking about. Oh, no, sorry. B'nai B'rav's Sisra, sorry, is Rabbi Akiva. Is Rabbi Akiva, rather.
Who is Sisra again?
Sisra was the Kenani general who Barak and Devorah fought against. And then Yoel killed him with a tent peg.
And Rabbi Akiva was his descendant?
And Rabbi Akiva was his... It's actually an interesting thing. We learn in a couple of... Sisra. It's interesting, actually. We learned in a couple of places. We learned in a couple of places in Shach that Yoel, before she killed him, she actually allowed him to have relations with her several times in order to weaken her, in order to weaken him, and that way he could more easily fall asleep and she'd be able to kill him. It's brought in Kisrei HaRizal that when we say that Rabbi Akiva was a descendant of Sisra, it means through Yoel, from these relationships that Sisra had with Yoel.
When he was coming, a byproduct of such.
So that's what we're saying. In other words, that sometimes you have to show him like that. Even a Rosha, like Sisra, has a tiny bit of good in him, and that can come out.
Well, it's Taiva Vera Lishma.
Well, that was Yoel. That was Sisra.
But still, it could be the same thing.
Okay. Descendants of Sancheirav taught Torah in public. Descendants of Haman taught Torah in Bnei Brak. There's a different girsa that not Bnei Brak, but descendants of Haman taught Torah. And there are Rishonim who say that refers to Shmuel Bar Shilas. We find he was one of the Amoraim. We find in the Gemara. We find in the Gemara in a few places he was one of the Amoraim. He was also a Malamed by profession. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was a Malamed, and he was also one of Amoraim, and he's a descendant of Haman.
Who became a famous?
Not the only one, but he had a son also, Rabbi Huda, but whatever. Most of them were, but the Medrash says that there were a bunch of them who ended up being Mechazer al Psachim, who ended up being beggars begging around for bread. So apparently one of their descendants became a gift. Yeah.
Sons of famous Nazis.
Yeah, this is also true.
In Yerushalayim.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Really?
Yeah.
Famous Nazis.
Yeah, yeah.
The son of Rommel, I heard.
Rommel wasn't a Nazi per se, but yeah.
He was
the head of the German army, but he wasn't. He wasn't too interested in all of the ideas of Nazis and whatever. Okay, that's not the place to get into it now, but whatever. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so that's yeah. I've always imagined it that Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was teaching his kids in his class every year about Purim, imagine he could tell them, you know, here you're looking in the flesh of a descendant of Haman. Yeah. All right. So now descendants of that Rosh and Nebuchadnezzar, the Eivishter also wanted should come under the wings of the Shekhinah. In other words, the Eivishter wanted to arrange that descendants of Nebuchadnezzar should become Geir.
By the way, Rav Shilas would send an Haman. Who's descendant of Amalek, so he should have been killed.
There is a big question about that. There is a lot of discussion among Achronim about that question. First of all, it's not universally agreed that you can't accept Gerim from Amalek. Mechilta does say that, but not necessarily is that accepted by Halacha. But again, there's a lot of possibilities. It could be that he was descendant from Haman on his mother's side. It could be that, and in that case, among Goyim, it goes to the father. But when you have a goy now, he's a goyter.
So he's not
descendant
of Amalek.
So he's not a biological descendant of Amalek, but now he wouldn't be considered from the nation of Amalek. You also have another possibility is that they may have become Gerim without anybody knowing that they were from Amalek. And later on, they realize by that time he's a Gerim. Okay. Anyway.
Once he's a Gerim,
yeah.
He's not supposed to kill him.
So now descendants of that Rosh and Nebuchadnezzar, the Eibishter also wanted to arrange that they should come, that they should become Gerim. Omru Malach HaSharis with Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, but the Malach HaSharis argued to the Eibishter, Rebbeinu Shalom, Misha Hechav Esbeis Chalukav, the one who destroyed your house, the Sorat HaSechopah, and burnt your Hechel, Tachas Kanteh Shkina, you want to bring descendants of his under the wings of the Shkina? Impossible. In fact, Meforshim talk about the Reb Levi Sloboditcher points out the difference is, for example, with Haman and Sisera and Sancheidev, eventually a Kiddush Hashem was accomplished through what they did. Yes, Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, but in the end he was defeated and hanged, and we have a Kiddush Hashem, and we have the Nesset Purim from it. Same thing with the other ones, as opposed to Nebuchadnezzar actually destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, a Kiddush Hashem is not made through that. Adar, a Chil Hashem
was made
through that. Yeah.
The interesting thing is, Nebuchadnezzar was able to
So one answer Rabbi Heber brings in a sefer, and Adam himself became a ger. The difference is for him himself to become a ger, fine, that's one thing. That itself makes a kiddush Hashem. If Nebuchadnezzar himself wanted to become a ger, it would be one thing. But to say that maybe the descendants of his should become that, not.
What about Titus then?
What about Titus? Titus himself didn't have descendants who were gerim.
So why not?
It's for the same reason, he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Thus the Pasuk says, we tried to heal Bavel, and it couldn't be healed. In other words, like the Eibishter is saying, we tried to make that some good will come out of Nebuchadnezzar, and it couldn't happen. Ula says that Pasuk is referring to Nebuchadnezzar, like we just said. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni Omer Elu Naris Bavel. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni says it refers to the rivers of Bavel, which are bad quality. The water there is bad quality to drink. The Tirgama, and he explained that this refers to the Tsinyasa Tsuidasa de Bavloi, that it refers to there are these bitter palm trees that grow near certain rivers, or Rashi says another explanation is that the palm trees themselves, the rivers are bad quality, the water there is bad quality, and therefore the palm trees are also, so that's what we're talking about, like Bavel couldn't be healed, like those are, it's too rotten, too sour, or whatever, to you. Yeah. Okay. Omaullah. Amun and Moav should be bishid Yerushalayim. Amun and Moav were bad neighbors of Yerushalayim. They're the ones who convinced Nebuchadnezzar to go and conquer Yerushalayim. What happened? Given to Shaminu the Nevi to come as Nabi the Churban into Yerushalayim, they heard the Neviim, Yirmiyahu, etc., who were saying Nebuah that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. Shochol of Nebuchadnezzar, so they sent a message to Nebuchadnezzar, Puk v'tah, come out and come do it.
They were using that word?
No, these are going. The goyim of Amun and Moav. Why not? When a Navi is saying the word, word gets around. Eventually, people hear about it, and word gets from one person to another. Omar, so Nebuchadnezzar says, again, Mr. Pinner, the Leila Abdulli, to do Abdul Kamoy. Again, I'm afraid that I might be treated like Sancheirev was, or like the other people who tried to go against the Jewish people. Shochulei, so they sent him a message as follows. The various parts of the message that they're going to send are taken from Pesukim in Mishlei. In context, the Pesukim over there are talking about an Isha Zoyna who tries to convince a man to be Mizana with her, don't worry, my husband's away, he's not going to come back for a while yet, etc., etc. Here the Gemara is using those Pesukim to represent what Amun and Moav are telling Nebuchadnezzar for one thing, Marashah says, because you find throughout Tanakh that Avodah Zorah and other Averis are compared to the Jewish people being Mizana from their husband, therefore it's appropriate Pesukim for the purpose. So, Shochulei, they sent him a message, as the Pasuk says, Ki eino ish bebeisei, the man is not at home.
That's what
Putifar's wife said. Yeah. Holach b'derach merachek, he ran on a faraway trip. Ve'in ish ala kodesh baruch hu, and the word ish means the Eibishter. Shenem Hashem ish mochama. So ve'eino ish bebeisei, the man's saying the Eibishter, the Shechina, is not in his house anymore. No, not he's sleeping, he's not in his house. He left because of the Jewish people live here. He sends them back. Bikriva will find that the Eibishter might be close by Valsi, and he'll come back. They'll do tshuva. Shochulei, they send him back with the continuation of the Pasuk. No, Holach b'derach merachek. He went on a far trip. They're not doing tshuva that easily. Shalach Lahu, he sends Islu Tzadiki, the boy Rach, near Maisulei. Fine, but they have Tzadikim among them who are going to daven for Rachmanos and bring back the Shechina. Shochulei, they send back a message with the next Pasuk. Tzror HaKesef Lokach B'yodeh, he took a bundle of silver in his hand. Ve'in kesef al tzadikim. And the word kesef, the word silver, refers to tzadikim. Shenem, as you find in Pasuk, ve'ekreh li b'chamisha al tzadikim. The Ebishter says about the Jewish people, I acquired them for me in Mitzrayim with 15 pieces of silver, meaning representing on 15th of Nisan, v'chomer sa'odim v'lesach sa'odim, and a chomer and a lesach of barley. The Gemara explains, Rashi brings over here, the Gemara explains in Cholin in some detail that this refers to different groups of tzaddikim. The point is, they're saying he took the silver in the sense like he took the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are all gone. Sholach Lahus, and Rochanetta says, okay, but how do we receive a tshuva? Fine, the Rishayim are still able to do tshuva, or bow Rachmi or Maitzulay, and they'll daven for Rachmanus and bring him back. Shochulei, they answered back, Kvar Kovala Hanzman. No, the Ebishter has already, through Nevi'im, has already set up a time that there's going to be a golos bubble of a certain length. It's going to last for 70 years. So therefore, Shanema, as the Pasuk says, L'yom HaKese Yoved Beisoy, as the Pasuk continues there in Mishlei, he'll come to his house at the appointed time, then Kese El Azman, the word Kese means a time, Shanema, but Kese L'yom HaGedu, the appointed time of our Yom Tov, of Rosh Hashanah.
Kese comes from which one?
Kese comes from, that's what it means. It means an appointed time.
So Moyov was the one pushing it.
So Moyov, Amin, and Moyov are the ones who are pushing it, yeah.
Now why can't they do themselves? They want to
They're not strong, yeah.
They're not strong enough, yeah.
Shalach Lahu, he said to them, okay, fine, I'm convinced, fine, I understand the Ebishter is not there, and therefore I don't have to worry, but Sitvahu, it's winter time now, because when did he come? I thought of a tavis, when he started the siege. So it's winter time. I can't come because of the snow and the rain. Shalach, so they sent back to him, don't worry, Ta Ashina de Tura, you can come on the shin of the mountains. Shin literally means the peaks, but Rashi actually says it means along the bottoms of the mountains, along the valleys next to the mountains, and that way the mountains will protect you from the worst of the weather. Some of the other Mephoshim say it actually means along the peaks of the mountains, because then you have less swamps and less, you know, whatever. It's easier to go along there because you have less swampy and when
on
wet.
The peaks of the mountains.
Rashi says it means along the bases of the mountains. The Yad Ramah, I think it says it means along the tops of the mountains.
Tops of the mountains.
Yeah, whatever. In other words, like, don't worry, we'll arrange, we'll clear the way for you, we'll bring in the snow plows and whatever. Yeah.
How far was the distance
from Babel to Eretz Yisrael? It's a few hundred miles.
A few hundred.
Yeah.
Those days.
Yeah. A few hundred. Yeah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, as the pasuk says, they said, and this is part of a nevuah about, this is the opening pasuk of a nevuah about Moav. They sent a messenger, carrying the messenger, Moshel Oretz, to the ruler of the world, meaning the Nebuchadnezzar, Misela Midbara, from the rocks in the mountains, and they're recommending to him to go by way of the rocks in the desert, rather, El Harbat Sion, to come to the mountain of Sion by way of the rocks in the mountains. So this passage expresses the idea by way of the desert. No, not so much that it shouldn't be seen, so he doesn't have to deal with the worst of the weather. The point being, in other words, we see the Pasuk is expressing the idea that they sent messengers to convince Nebuchadnezzar to come and destroy the Bismarck. And therefore, the Navi goes on to say, therefore, they're going to get their punishment. Moyev is across the Yaudin from Eretz Yisrael.
Because they're sending messages, every kind of thing, a message to
the Nebuchadnezzar? A few hundred miles back and forth. Yeah, maybe they went to Babel, like this, they can argue with him back and forth in person.
Where in Babel was he?
In the city of Babel, the capital city of Babel. I don't know, nowadays it's... No, it's not. It's a little further south. Nowadays it's all ruins, but I don't know.
It's
someplace.
A long way.
Yeah.
Miles.
Okay, I don't know how much it is. Okay, whatever. All right. Sholach Lahu, he sent them, Iyasina, fine, but if I come, Leslie Juchti Iyasina, I'm not going to have any place to stay. It's winter time. We can't stay in tents like soldiers normally do during campaigning season. Shofalei, they sent back to him, Kvaret Shalahem, Ma'ulim Mipaltir and Shalach. Don't worry, their Kvarim, the caves where they bury their mesim, are better quality than your palaces. So you and your soldiers can just stay in those caves.
Ooh.
Yeah. Dichtiv, and the Pasuk says, Ba'esayinu Mashem, at that time, says the Eivishtit, Yotziu es Atmet Malcha Yehuda, they'll take out the bones of the kings of Yehuda, the Rishoyim among them, that is, Ves Atmet Sarov, and the bones of the princes, Ves Atmet HaKoyanim, and the bones of the Koyanim who were Rishoyim, Ves Atmet HaNevi'im, and the bones of the false Nevi'im, Ves Atmet Yotzvi Yerushalayim, and the bones of all the other inhabitants of Yerushalayim, Mikivrehem, they'll all be taken out of their bones, out of their Kvarim, out of their graves.
Right.
They'll be spread out in front of the sun and the moon, in front of all the other stars and planets, which when these people were alive, they loved them, and they worshiped them, and they followed them. That'll be their punishment, that now their bones will be... Fine, but the Ebishter expect more from the Jewish people. The point is, in other words, when they were... So fine, if Nebuchadnezzar and his army are going to stay in these caves, means they have to clear them out, or the burials in them. So therefore, that's how all these bones come out to be scattered all around.
That's exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
They took them out of the aquarium.
And then now they have these caves available for them to stay in during the campaign season. Okay. Now we're going to start a new topic. We're going to start about the next three blocks or so are going to be talking about Mashiach. They're much better than what we've been yet. Much better. So what's the connection? Rashi says, since we mentioned this pasuk, Tzerer HaKesef Lokach B'Yodai, we said that the silver that Eved Sheh took in his hand, meaning the tzaddikim, that there's not many tzaddikim, therefore we're going to be talking about Ikvah to the Meshicha, when also, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, there's going to be fewer tzaddikim. So that's one. That's Rashi.
In the times of
Ikvah to the Meshicha, the period before Mashiach. The Yad Ramah has a different explanation. We said that we mentioned the appointed time, that Golos Bavel is going to last 70 years. So now we're going to talk about the appointed time. When is all Golos going to be over? So, to start with, Amalei Rav Nachman Leib Yitzchak. Mishmialoch Emos Alfi Bar Nafsi. Have you heard when Bar Nafsi is coming? Man Bar Nafsi. Who's Bar Nafsi? Amalei Mashiach. Mashiach Bar Nafsi, Koresle. Why are you calling him Bar Nafsi? On that day, the Eved says, when Mashiach comes, I will raise up the sukkah of David, the Malchus based David, that fell down. Therefore, Mashiach can be called Bar Nafli, the son of the ones who fell down.
That refers to Mashiach.
So it refers to Mashiach.
So we say it on sukkah.
We say it on sukkah, yeah. It refers to Mashiach, it refers to this Mitzvah, it refers to the Malchus based David, yeah. There's a lot of other explanations why Mashiach is called Bar Nafli. Among them is the idea that we know Mashiach is descended from David, where David himself, by rights, was only originally destined to live for only 3 hours. He was going to be a Nabal. He was going to be a stillbirth. But then Adam Rishon gave him 70 years of his lifetime. So Mashiach is called Bar Nafli, the son of the one who would have been a stillbirth. That's one explanation. They talk about that Nafli is the Aramaic word for clouds, so therefore it represents the idea that Mashiach is going to, or stars rather, it represents that the Mashiach is related to the stars. Dorach Koichav Miyachah, that's the famous pasuk that Rabbi Akiva thought about Koichva. So therefore, Bar Nafli, the son of the stars, meaning like that Mashiach is compared to a star.
Why was supposed to be Nafli? Is there any reason?
What?
Any reason why it's supposed to be Nafli?
Why David was supposed to be a Nafli? I don't know. I'm sure that Mephoshim on the Medrash discussed it, but I don't remember. There's an interesting explanation that I once saw. I saw it in a sefer that brings explanations from the Vilna Gaon on a couple of Agadas. I'm not sure if this is also from the Vilna Gaon or if it's the compiler's explanation. The Gemara is going to discuss soon the sequence of events that happens before Mashiach comes. But the Gemara says the whole sequence has never yet happened because Mashiach hasn't yet come. So therefore, in that sense, you know, we have an Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, today's Haftarah. We compare the Geula to a pregnancy and a birth. That the Eved Sheh says, you know, I don't make a pregnancy come about, and there's not eventually going to be a birth. There is going to be a birth of Geula. So therefore, in that sense, though, the problem is every time the process starts happening to lead to Mashiach, but it never stops, and therefore, in that sense, it's like a stillbirth.
So what the Eved Sheh says that I'm not bringing a pregnancy.
Eventually, the Eved Sheh says it will happen.
We're getting some contractions now.
Yeah.
But it's not enough. We had contractions before.
And that's the point. In other words, ultimately, we need the delivery. So that's what Gemara is going to discuss. Amalei, so he answers him, Hachi Amar Rav Yechanan, Dorsh Ben David Baboy, in the generation when Ben David, when Mashiach is going to come, Tamar Chachamim is Matim, the Tamar Chachamim are going to be reduced in number, the rest of them, their eyes are going to be failing from trouble and sighing and troubles and sighing and crafting. And there's going to be many tzaddis and many harsh tzaddis that are going to be constantly coming along, new ones. And before the first one even finishes, the second one is already hurrying up to come.
Yeah.
That's going to be the time before Mashiach.
We had
that there. It's the Yad Ramah, actually, when he discusses this Gemara, and the next thing that he says, I can't understand, based on these Gemaras, how is it Mashiach not here yet?
Right.
And that was 800 years ago. Imagine how far we've sunk since then.
You go much further than
that? I'll try. We'll see. If you can't stay, then fine. Turn it up on him. Shavua Shabed David Baboy, the Shmita.
In the Yad Ramah's time, there were a lot of Tabiachim.
Relative to previous times, there weren't, though, relative to previous times, more than today, fine. But for example, you know, the Rambam described that ever since the Chassimus HaGemara, really, he says that it used to be tens of thousands of Tamar Chachamim crowding into the yeshivas, and nowadays, the Rambam writes that in later times, you didn't really have that anymore.
Yeah, there was
everybody, it was your occupation to be a Talmud Chacham.
Yeah.
Now, very few people are a rabbi, and if they are, their job is just to teach children or to preach in front of a shul full of people that don't know too much.
The week, meaning the Shmita cycle in which Mashiach is going to come, during the first year, the following pasuk will be fulfilled. As the pasuk has been tauti al irachas, the Eibishter says, "I'll make it rain on one city." But a different city nearby will not have rain. So, like one city will have a little bit of rain, so they won't have a total hunger. But the other one is going to have you're going to have some places are going to be hungry, and some places are going to be satisfied.
That's happening now.
I'll tell you in a second. I'll tell you in a second what Rabbi Heber mentions in his book, an interesting thing about these seven stages. In the second year, the arrows of hunger will be sent out. In other words, there's going to be nobody is going to be completely satisfied anywhere. Shlishis rav gadol. In the third year, there's going to be a great hunger. Umesim anashim menashim batach chsidim v'anshe ma'isa. Men, women, children, chsidim v'anshe ma'isa. Apparently, and are going to die. But turtle mishtakachas melebdeha, and people are going to forget their turtle learning because they're not going to have what to eat. But a vias soiva ve'ena soiva. In the fourth year, things are going to start getting a little better. There's going to be a little bit of satiety, a little bit of food, but not very much. In the fifth year, there'll be a great plentifulness. People will eat and drink and be happy. But turtle chazeres lemdeha, and turtle will be restored to those who learn it. In the sixth year, there will be kolos. Rashi says two explanations of kolos. One is there will be rumors that Ben David, that Mashiach has come. The second explanation is kolos means the sound of the shofar. And Yad Ramah says kolos means like there'll be noises, like almost like thunder, but without an obvious cause. But Shviyas Milchamos, in the seventh year there'll be wars, Rashi says, between the Goyim and the Jewish people. But Metzoy Shviyas Ben David Ba, and at the end of the year after that Shemitah, Mashiach comes. Amr Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, Hakama Shviyas Da'ava Kein V'Loyasa. We had many cycles of Shemitah year when such things happened, and Mashiach hasn't come yet. Amr Abayah says, but it didn't finish. Shishis Kolos B'Shviyas Milchamos Mi'ava. Did we have the things that it says that, sure, the first stages, the hunger and the greater hunger and whatever that happened. But the last part didn't happen. But in Kesidron we have it, and it didn't necessarily happen in the order that we said. So therefore, no. So Rabbi Heber points out in Kol Yisrael, he says an interesting idea. This may refer to seven stages of history, and he says, for example, the first one when we said that some places are going hungry and some places are full might refer to World War I. The second one might refer to World War II. The third one when we say many people die would be the Holocaust. The fourth one would be the beginning of the revival of Jewish life after the Holocaust. The fifth one would be the greater number of people who learned Torah that have been in recent decades. The sixth one, the Kolos, is when the Rebbe is starting to shtudim about the idea that Mashiach is coming. The Shviyas Milchamos are the wars that are ongoing on an ongoing basis. That we have now. That you can open up the paper or look on the internet every day and see. And now all we need is Metzor Shviyas Ben David Ba.
Amen.
The pasuk says, "Asher cherfu ivecha Hashem, your enemies Hashem have made fun. Asher cherfu ikves Mashiachcha, they've made fun of the footsteps of Mashiach." So what is that pasuk doing over here? In fact, Marshall takes it out, which is why it's in parentheses. Rashi says, "I don't understand what that pasuk is doing over here." Rashi explains from his Rebbe that this is like an introduction to the next part that the Gemara is going to describe the conditions that are going to be in the time before Mashiach comes, in Ikvah Siddur Mashiach.
Okay.
Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Dosh Ben David Baboy, in this generation when Mashiach is going to come, Beis Avad, many of the stuff we have at the end of Sota as well, Beis Avad Yil Znus, the place where people gather together to learn Torah is going to become a place of Znus, or the Yad Ramah says,
Hello, in Russia?
Beis Avad, a place where people used to gather to learn Torah, later on became a place of Znus.
In Russia, the Great Synagogue became a ballet thing.
And it's Znus.
It's close enough. It's wearing unsmiastic costumes and whatever. Yeah. The Yad Ramah has a different explanation. Beis Avad Yil Znus, he says, means that people are going to be so brazen about Znus that you're going to have public places set up for it. You're going to have like clubs that are set up for this kind of thing.
Oh, well, got that. Yeah.
Ragolo Yechorib, the Galil, the north of Eretz Yisrael, will become desolate. Ragavlon Yerashim, and the Gavlon will become empty. What is the Gavlon?
How close? The Galil is flourishing.
Different parts of it. Some parts of it are under occupation by the Arabs.
Yeah,
you have Adarabi. You have, for example, there's a town in the Galil called Pekin. It's known to have had an uninterrupted Jewish presence from the time of the Tanoim until nowadays. Until now, it's all Arabs now. It's all Druze, whatever.
That's
the
north of Israel.
Yeah.
Dangerously
unpopulated. Yeah. So there you go. The Gavlon will be desolate. What is the Gavlon? Rashi says it's the name of a place. Yeah, some of them Mefarshim say it might be the Golan. The Yad Ramah has an interesting girsa. He says not Vagavlon, but Vagvil. So therefore, Vagvil, meaning the parchment of the Sefer Torah. Yeshem is going to be desolate because people aren't going to be learning Torah. So like the Sefer Torah are going to be sitting there moldering with nobody learning them. The Anshe Gvul and the people of the borders, Yisovu Me'iliyu, will wander around from city to city. V'lo Yechenenu, and nobody will have Rachmanis on them. Rashi brings one explanation, Anshe Gvul means the people from the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Like you have, for example, think of the people who were kicked out of Gaza.
Oh my God.
And also, the second explanation Rashi says is it's not Anshe Gvul, but Anshe Gozis, meaning the Sanhedrin, are going to be wandering around and nobody's going to be interested in them.
We don't have that here.
You actually have a few years back where the Steinsaltz tried to get together a group in Tveria to reestablish Sanhedrin, but have you heard of it in recent years? No. So that fits with this. The Yad Ramah again explains that the Anshe Gvul again means Anshe Gvul, the people who learn Torah are going to be wandering around and nobody's going to be interested in what they have to say. Gvul, Meloshin parchment. Gvul is unsplit parchment, but they write a Sefer Torah on.
It's a non-divided parchment?
Yeah. Technically, a Sefer Torah is supposed to be written on that unsplit parchment. Nowadays, they write on a clock, which is thinner, yeah. Okay. Anyway. The Chachma of Sofrim Tisrach, the Chachma of the Sofrim of the Tamid Chachamim is going to spoil, like nobody's interested in it. The Yirei Chet Yimoasu, the people who are Yirei Chet, who are going to fear sin, are going to be thought despised. Yeah, despised. Or Pnei Adur to Pnei Akelev, the face of the generation is going to be the face of a dog. Which there's many explanations about that. I'll tell you in a minute. Actually, I'll tell you the Ben Yehoyada actually finds positive things in each one of these things, and the Rebbe in various places also does. So I'll tell you in a second. But a couple of explanations of Pnei Adur to Pnei Akelev. The Marsha says the vote is a dog is very faithful to its master. So like this, you're going to have people are going to seemingly be faithful to each other, but really they're not. Really, they're going to be treacherous to each other. And then there's a very, very famous verse that's brought from Rabbi Cyril Salanter that says, when you see a person walking a dog, the dog usually runs ahead. You think the dog is the one leading the way. But every so often, the dog looks back to see which way its master wants to go and go that way. So it represents the idea you're going to have so-called leaders who really all they do is they just look for what public opinion is and then follow it rather than actually leading. So we have that, yeah.
That was Clinton.
not just him. You have many other politicians before and after him. I like that also, yeah. Okay, but MS Nederes, and MS will be Nederes. The simple meaning of Nederes is it'll be removed, but the Gemara is going to say in a second it has a different meaning. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vatihia MS Nederes, as the Pasuk says, MS will be Nederes. Vesor Meromish, we'll see in a second. Vesor Meromish Toilo, Mai Vatihia MS Nederes, what does it mean, Nederes? Amri Dveda, Malamad Shenasus, Adorim Adorim, Bahilachaslo. It means that MS will still exist, but it'll become into groups and go away. Meaning, in other words, one meaning is like the people who are really into MS will like have to leave society. Nobody's going to be interested in them, so like they're going to have to go off in small groups of their own. There's a verse that the Balei Amos say it means there's going to come a point when every group claims that it has the MS. So like you're not going to be able to find one MS. You're going to have each group is going to claim they have the MS.
Sounds totally like
it. It sounds very much like now, yeah. My v'sor meiro mishtolel. What does the pasuk mean when it continues that the one who stays away from evil mishtolel? What does that mean? Amri dvei Rav Shila, kol mi she'sor meiro. It means that at that time, a person who stays away from evil mishtolel al abrius will be considered by people as a shoyter. Mishtolel means like foolish.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah. So now I'll tell you, Ben Yehoyada talks about these things and the other things that we're going to have on the Almud. He finds positive meanings in all of them. For example, he says beisavad yil is nus. The word nus can also mean a collection of spices. So therefore, adrabe don't mean a spice. Znim, the Gemara mentioned, the Gemara mentioned, the Baruch Hama based on a pasuk over there. No, it's a different thing. Znim means like different types of spices. So therefore, yeah. So therefore, it means like the adarab. It means that the Talmid Chachamim will be like there'll be wonderful spices, wonderful fragrances from their learning Torah. He says, for example, the gavlon that all the golo yachrav golo mil moshin golos. Like the we want it to be a gadaloi golos, enough golos, and there won't be golos anymore. And the same thing he goes through the other ones as well. As far as the Ben Yehuda says this, yeah. The one about Yirei Cheki Moasu, there's a vort from Rav Zusha Anapoller that Rabbi Heber brings in his sefer that it means it, at that time nobody's going to be interested in Yirei Chek. Why not? Because we're going to say you don't want to be a Yirei Chek. You don't want to serve the Eivish out of fear. It's more important to serve the Eivish out of love. So therefore, like the people who are still on the lower level of Yira are going to be thought of as nothing. So that's also a positive sense of it. But Heber talked about a positive sense of a couple of these things as well. There's a famous. There's a famous one later on in the Omud, we're going to have that even people's family members are going to be coming up against them. That Rebbe said the positive side of it is the chutzpah, meaning because like you're not going to have children are not going to be satisfied with the watered down Yiddishkeit of their parents. They're going to want the real thing. That's the whole Baal Teshuva movement, for example. So you have that. You have other things as well. Omud Rava Mireish Haba Min Aleka Kushta Ba'alma. Based on this, that we're saying that MS has become Adorim, I used to think there's no real truth in the world. However, one of the Chachamim, Rav Tovus Shmei, his name is Rav Tovus, Va'amile Rav Tavyumi Shmei, others say his name is Rav Tavyumi, and he was so honest, if they gave him all the treasures in the world, they have Mashani B'diburi, he still wouldn't change what he says, he would still say the truth. So he told me.
Tavyumi is Marva Rav Ashi. It's another Tavyumi.
That's a different Rav Tavyumi because this one is Rava. So this one is Rava talking about Tavyumi, the son of Rav Ashi, who Ashi wasn't even born yet.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. So he says Zimna Chode Ikli Lahu Asra. So this Rav Tavyumi, Rav Tavus, says one time I came to a certain place, the Kushta Shmei. The name of this place is Kushta. Well, I have a Mashani B'Diburai. In this place, Kushta is the Aramaic word for truth. In later Jewish history, they use it as a nickname for Constantinople. But in this story, Kushta means truth in Aramaic. Yeah. So,
Constantinople is what?
The Jewish nickname for Constantinople was Kushta.
Why?
Because it sounds similar, I guess, maybe based on this Gemara. I don't know. Yeah. You have every day whenever we say Brit Shmei, for example, the Dura Lok, Shoy, Tver Isaac, Shoy, Shoy means truth. Yeah. Okay. So it was called Kushta Velayhav Mashana B'diburai, who nobody over there said anything other than the truth. Velayhav Mayas Inish Mahasim Velayzimne, and nobody over there ever died in an untimely way. Nobody ever died young. Well, Rav Tavyumi, because they were saying the truth. Nisivi Itzaminah, so Rav Tavyumi, Rav Tavus goes on to say, I married a woman over there, Vahavale Tautin B'nimino, and I had two sons with her. Yoimachad have a Yasva Devetu. One day his wife was sitting, and she was shampooing her hair. Her neighbor came and knocked on the door. Savar, sort of Tavyumi, figured, Lav Oirachara, it's not decent to say that she's busy washing her hair, it's not sneezing. Amala left the hospital, so instead he said she's not here. Well, that wasn't the truth. Shivalei Tautin Benin. So there, his two sons ended up passing away. Also, Inshi De'Astra the Kameh, so the people of the town came to him. Amalei Maihai, what happened? All of a sudden, the people are dying young over here. Amalei Wachi Abimai, so he tells them this is what happened. Amrelei, they told him, Matusim enough, please, we beg you, Puk Me'Astra and leave our town. Velei Tigra, who my son of Bahanach Inshi, so you don't cause death to come and stalk these people,
just
meaning us, just because he said some one thing that wasn't true. Because, in other words, Rabbi Yaakov Amnon talks about this, for example, he might have thought because he could have said
he
could have said she's not available, whatever. He didn't have to say that she's not here, which is an untruth.
It's when you call a 3-year-old, where's your mommy? My mommy's in the bathroom, making number two.
Okay. Tanya, I'm the heroine. Medosha Ben David Boboy, the generation where Ben David, where Mashiach is going to come. And by the way, this that we're talking about, at least according to the symbol level that we're talking about, this whole breakdown of society that we talked before and that we're going to talk now, the Maharal talks about, and it's brought in many other Sephardim, it's brought in a few places in Chassidus. The idea is when you go from one stage to another, you have to have a complete disappearance of the first stage before the second one can come about. Like when you plant a seed in the ground, it has to completely rot away before the plant will start growing. Therefore, by the same way, the society that we live in has to completely fall apart, and then we can have the society of Mashiach.
So Tuvioma was so honest outside of the city that he would never
change. Now he learned a lesson, I guess. Yeah.
Now he's just not. Is there any
thing you read about this? Because I was always wondering about this story. It's just so weird to me.
Basically, it sounds like a face value. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you didn't hear anything like any deeper meaning.
No.
That's the way we have to talk today.
Yeah. Okay, Tanya of Nehoroyim, Dosh of Ben David Baboy, the generation when Ben David is going to come, Le'orim Yabinu Pnei Kenim, the younger ones will embarrass the face of the elders, was Kenim Yamdu Pnei Ne'orim, the elders will stand up in respect for the young, Ubat Kamabim, a daughter will stand up against her mother, Bakala Bahamosa, a Kala will stand a daughter in law against her mother in law, Upnea Dur Pnea. So on the simple meaning, it means that they'll argue. They have the idea of harful of Aisha, for example, that she says to embarrass her and humiliate her. But again, you have the positive meaning in it that Benny Yoda talks about and the Rebbe talks about in various places. The idea that the accomplishments of the younger generation are going to exceed the accomplishments of the elder ones. They're not going to be satisfied with what they have until now in terms of Yiddishkeit. They want the best.
Well, Yiddishkeit is not about
it's not about embarrassing, no, but the point is, like, you still have sometimes, no matter how sensitive a child is to their parents, still sometimes the parents still feel bad about it. Sometimes it induces the parents to upgrade their Yiddishkeit. How many people of people, for example, where they became Bala Tshuva, and therefore their parents eventually decided, for example, we got to keep a kosher kitchen, we want our kids and our grandchildren to be able to eat by us. That's an example of this. So they're not directly humiliating them, but themselves.
That's not humiliating. Yeah,
yeah. But it is. It's a kind of humiliation, but it's a good kind of humiliation.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. The ain't been misbiased from the other. Meaning like what we said before. The simple meaning that it means that people will be disloyal to each other and that the leaders are not going to be the leaders, but rather followers. But again, the positive sense that Ben Yehoyada says on it, that actually, no, not Ben Yehoyada, but Rebbe says on it in a sicha, that what it means is dogs are always hungry. So therefore, it represents that there's a time in Ifrit and Meshicha, the leaders, the Pnei Adur, are always going to be hungry for Torah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
So that's not Pnei Keller.
But that's in that sense. It can, yeah. The Ein HaBen Mitzbayish, other than a son will not be embarrassed of his father. Tanya, Reb Nechemia, the Dersh of Ben David Baboy, the generation when Ben David is going to come, Ha'azus Tirbe, Chutzpah will increase. And again, Chutzpah can be a positive thing. But it's Chutzpah that sends out Bachar in every Erev Shabbos to do Mitzoyim, for example.
That type of chutzpah, yeah.
But there's different kinds. Azus can be a great thing. They say a famous verse when it says in Pirkei Avos, Az Ponim LeGehenim, or Boreshis Ponim LeGan Eden, they say Chassidus Shavartan, and it means the Az Ponim is the kind who can go into Gehenim and start turning it over. The Boreshis Ponim, the one who's embarrassed, fine, let him stay in the Gan Eden of Fachabad or Crown Heights or Yerushalayim or what have you. Yeah. Okay. V'ayoyker Ya'avim. And yoiker can mean honor, or it can mean an increase in prices. Yaves will be twisted. So Rashi says one thing is yukur means covered, so it means that covered will be twisted. Nobody will honor each other. Or Rashi says another explanation. Yoiker meaning
well.
Yoiker according to this first explanation means covered. Yoiker yaves covered will
well.
Be twisted. Yoker can mean yeah. The other explanation, Yoker Yavis, means that even the honored people among people are going to be Yavis, are going to be twisted, are going to be twisted and crooked kind of people. There's other explanations as well that it can also mean, for example, another explanation of it is the increase in prices is going to make people twisted. You find that when there's inflation or whatever, people compromise their principles. The vines will be giving their fruit, but wine will still be expensive because there's going to be a high demand for it. People are going to be wanting to get drunk. So actually, it actually says two explanations. That's actually the second explanation. The first one is even though the vines will be giving grapes, the grapes aren't going to be good quality, so therefore you're going to get very little wine from them. So therefore you're going to have high prices for wine.
The grapes, you'll have less.
And the second explanation is that even though there'll be a lot of wine, the demand will outstrip the supply because people are going to be wanting to get drunk. The entire government will become minus, will become apikursus, yeah. The entoichacha, nobody is giving musr to each other.
Who would give it?
Yeah, Messiah little bit. This supports what Rabbi Yitzchok says. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, in Ben David Bach, just have a kol malchus minus. Ben David won't come until the entire malchus becomes minus. Yeah, Amar Rav Mikra, where you have a pasuk that expresses that. Kulay hafach lavan tohu. It's like when a tzar becomes completely white. Becomes completely covered with taras, then he's tahor the same way over here. When the malchus is complete minus, that's when Mashiach is going to come.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But what does that mean?
No, Rav is going to
see.
No, well, here we're talking about the government, Malchus. So it's not necessarily we're talking about the
Malchus
Pashtus of Eretz Yisrael or the Goyish nations also. I mean, you have increasingly now that they don't believe in anything higher than themselves anymore. You know.
No, Trump is.
Maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, fine. We have the rest of the Malchus. You have the whole swamp over there. Anyway. Right,
draining the swamp.
Yeah, let's not get into it right now. This is Gemara, not politics. Turn it up on them. Ki yodin Hashem amir v'gomer. The pasuk says in Hazinu, the Eibishter will judge, or actually Rashi says over there that it means that the Eibishter will stand up for his people. Rashi explains in a few places, by the way, that the word din and mishpat has three different meanings. It means the deliberation for a case. It means the verdict, and it means the execution of the verdict. So in this case, it means Rashi explains over there. It means the execution, the standing up, and then standing up for the Jewish people and punishing their enemies. That's kiyodin. Why kiyira ki ozlas yod? Because he sees that the hand is getting stronger. What hand? We're going to say in a second. The ephes otzur v'ozur, and there's nobody left who's controlled or strong. What does this mean? En ben David bach yirbu ha-masurdis. It means ben David will only come when the masurdis, when the hand becomes stronger, meaning the hand of the people who master, who are malshin on each other to the government. That's when Mashiach will come. Another explanation of ki ozlas yod is when talmidim become fewer. Like this, you have talmid chachamim who help get the Jewish people back to the right path. When there's going to be fewer of them. And another explanation is when the pruta is out of the pocket. In other words, people are going to be empty-handed. People are going to be empty. We're going to have empty pockets. So there are other explanations of this adjective of Prutum and Akit. It's interesting that Ashash says it means the other way around, that people are going to be wealthy to the extent that the kiss, meaning the kiss of tzedakah, is not going to have pennies in it anymore, because nobody's going to think a penny as being worth anything but tzedakah.
No,
you do have that nowadays to a large extent. I mean, little kids still give pennies, but your average person, when they give tzedakah, they give a dime, a quarter, a dollar, whatever. So yeah, in that sense, yeah. There's also a verse that's brought up, Shtichel Prutim in a kiss. There's also a verse, I believe it's from the Arizal, but I don't remember, that it means the Prutius will be gone. Like, nobody will just be thinking about themselves anymore. People will be thinking about the Klal, which is how it should be.
Good.
Dabra Achach is Yashu min a Gula. Another explanation is that Mashiach will only come when the people have given up on Gula.
Oh boy.
Shenemar v'efes otzur v'ozur. But the pasuk says there's no otzur v'ozur. Kaviyachol ain't same for ozur liyisrael. Meaning kaviyachol, there's nobody supporting and helping the Jewish people.
Now I understand koach nifin. We're
hold
supposed
on.
To give up on this.
Hold on. Let's learn the next line, and then we'll talk about what it means to be misyach min agula. Ki hodi Rab Zera ki av mashka chabonin de ma'aski bay. Such as we find that Rab Zera, when he found Rabbanan sitting and being oisik in matters involving Mashiach, Omalahu, you tell them, Batusa, I beg you, but inimi naifu, I plead with you, loy tirachakua, don't make it be further away. The Tanena is, because we learn in a Brayta, Gimel Boyd v'hesachadas, three things are going to come with hesachadas, meaning, it sounds like it means distraction, like when you're not expecting it. Ve'elohen Mashiach mitziya v'akrov. So now, what does this really mean? I mean, we're davening for the Gola constantly. We're obviously not misyayish min ha-Gola. So there's a lot of different explanations of it. One of them is that it means that after all, yes, we're all constantly davening for Mashiach, but after all, do we really mean it? Do we really sincerely believe that Mashiach can come any second? So there is that. There's also, for example, it's that Yisya'ash Min HaGa'ula means that we despair of it coming through natural ways. Many people, you have people, for example, who think that the state of Israel, for example, is Aschalta the Ge'ula, is the first stage of Ge'ula, whatever. When there comes the point that you see Asher Min HaGe'ula, that everybody realizes Ge'ula is not going to come in any natural way, that's what we mean. That's one of the explanations of Hezekadah. That people are going to realize it has to come in Hashemayim. It can't possibly come in Derech HaTeva, because all the Derech HaTeva ways haven't worked out.
We are at this stage, aren't we?
Not as everybody at that stage, I don't know. But we have to
believe that the Gula is going to come naturally.
Okay, but you still have some people, whatever. But that's not the point. The point is
that the Rebbe said it will be in the newspaper.
That's a different thing. Being in the newspaper is not coming naturally. When a net happens, it's also in the newspaper. No, well, okay.
That's not going to last.
Then Mashiach had better come pretty soon before
that's
they all
right.
become bankrupt. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Anyway. Another explanation is that primarily Yisya'ashu min ha-Ge'ula means that people give up trying to calculate dates for Ge'ula. And in particular, this that we're saying that Rav Zeira says, when he sees the Chachamim being osik, doesn't necessarily mean they're being osik in the Yonim Mashiach HaGola. That's a good thing. What he sees is they're being osik and trying to calculate when Mashiach is going to come. That, he tells them, is inappropriate. Now, we have Doli Yisrael throughout the generation, all the way back to Gemara itself, and Amud Beis is going to give us some kitzin. Reb Sadia Goren said a ketz for around his time. Rashi said one for around his time, and it never happened. So what is it, though, that
Rashi gave a ketz?
Yeah, Rashi and Sukkim and Daniel. Yeah.
What did he say was coming?
Whatever, it was sometime around his times. But the Ramban explains, and he gets Taman. Even the Gemara is saying over here, the Gemara is going to say on the days that you're not supposed to calculate dates for when Mashiach is going to come. However, different Gedolei Yisrael at different times felt they had to because the people were just discouraged. The people were about to give up completely on Gola, and therefore they needed to encourage them that Mashiach is almost here.
But it's not really a question of giving a date.
So the vort is, before I should say, when we say on the days that it's bad to give dates, that means when you say, for example, that once that date has passed, forget it, he's never coming. That would be bad. But to say a date when it's likely that Mashiach is going to come, that's fine. So that's the Gzoli Yisro can do that. Yeah, the Alter Rebbe gave a ketz, for example, of a well-known one for the year 1848. There's a number of them. It's
1848.
Yeah.
It was a famous year.
Yeah.
So actually, what year was it?
1848. Well, first of all, in the Gosher calendar, yeah.
Oh,
first of
very famous,
yeah. So actually, that new Likutei Torah was published and it's brought. When the Rebbe Maharash asked the Samachedik to knew what happened, the Samachedik said Likutei Torah was published. What do you want? And then the Maharash says, yeah, but we need Mashiach down here on earth.
Oh, 1848
the revolution all across Europe. There were revolutions. There were a bunch of revolutions in various places, in France and in Germany and a number of European countries.
All in that year. I don't know. He wasn't around then, like you guys.
I'll tell you something that I thought of a while back. I don't know if this has any validity to it, but so we know besides that one, for example, it's brought that Tofresh Samach Vav was also supposed to be a year of a cat. Tofresh Samach Vav was 1906. And in that year, there was a revolution in Russia that almost brought down the Tsar, and eventually
the beginning of the
Russian Revolution. In that year, also for that reason, the Rebbe Rashab started saying in that year the Hemshech Samach Vav, the famous Hemshech Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Samach Vav. We find that when communism fell, that Rebbe was talking about the Mashiach is imminent. I thought of something like this, and again, I don't know if this has any validity. Maybe what it is, I mean, we know that each of those was a potential ketz. Mashiach could have come then had we been in the right place. But maybe what it is nevertheless, in each one of those kitzim, some idea that up till then people believed in was destroyed. 1848, for example, after that, nobody believed in the divine right of kings. From then on, after all, you have constitutional monarchs. Except even in Britain, they had constitutional monarchs.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But in 1906, in Russia, was the beginning of bringing down that communism. So each time you have some idea that many people have believed in gets discredited. So therefore, it's coming closer and closer.
Which periods were these ideas changed?
Now it's retail.
For example, 1906 was one of them. 1989, when communism fell, 1992, whatever that whole, those years, when communism fell was another example. So nowadays, you have people who claim to believe in communism again. So I don't know what that means in terms of that. Maybe something else that needs to happen in order to completely discredit it before Mashiach comes. I don't know. I'm not a Navi. I don't know the future, but this is what I was thinking about.
I'll tell you when Mashiach going to come.
Yes.
It's interesting that in all these examples, we don't have any quote that Mashiach is going to come after the war.
We said before, Mashiach is Muhammad.
The latest Mashiach could come in 3 years from now,
when you'll say Kapitel Taf Kuf Chaf.
Kuf
Chaf
Aleph. Okay, why?
Because then the Rebbe will be 120,
right.
And that's Doreinu.
Okay. Works for me, but it should be sooner than that. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. We work.
Okay. When we say Gimel Boyin Behesa Hadas, by the way, in Chassidus, in a lot of places,
you guys
about the idea.
Hey, you're right.
When it talks about, when you say over here, Gimel Boyin Behesa Hadas, the Mashiach comes Behesa Hadas, in many places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea. What it means is not that we should be distracted and not think Mashiach is coming, but rather it means Mashiach is coming, and Mashiach is something L'mayla Mitam Badas. It's not something that we can comprehend using normal Das. We have to go beyond Das in order to bring Mashiach. And this is the idea, for example. But it means that, but it means also that in terms of our avoda has to be in a way beyond that, in a way of mesiras nefesh, in a way of not I understand and therefore I'm doing, but in a way beyond that, not of an ishma. And that's the given behead of
Chabad. That's the case.
But that's what it means.
There's no chiddush in that.
But that's what it means. It means, in other words, that
we have an avoda that.
It means that there's an avoda with das, but then there's avoda higher than das. That's what we need to focus on.
Okay.
Can we go a little bit further, or do people want to? We have been here a long time already. All right. That's fine. Okay. Well, that's the same. I would have liked. No, of course not. But I would have liked.